The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Josh Allen playing God-level football right now.
When Josh Allen was born, he was born to be the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills.
It's like tackling George Kittle.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go. Let's finish.
Snap. Going to keep it himself. Runs left side. Has room.
Oh, my God.
Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen. He fooled everyone.
I just don't think he goes into the game thinking, there is not a single play that I can't make.
Let's go!
It's a huge week in the NFL as training camps begin across the league. And Josh Allen and the Bills need one thing to find success at the Super Bowl level. We'll tell you what that is. In Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence showed us the good, bad, and head-scratching last year. Someone here has a formula Doug Peterson can use to make Lawrence shine consistently. That's the key. And Devontae Adams called Derek Carr a Hall of Famer. Then he had to walk it back. We'll bring you all that and explain it. Welcome to NFL Live. We're less than 24 hours from every single team across the league arriving at camp. We made it through the offseason. Everyone can take a deep breath. Mina Kimes, Tim Hasselbeck, Diana Russini here with you for the next 60 minutes. And we start things off in Buffalo. So let's go there now with Von Miller heading to the Bills and immediately providing a significant boost for this defense. One of the many reasons this team is a no-brainer pick for a lot of people to win the Super Bowl. We saw Miller's impact on the field when it mattered most for the Rams last year. But how about what he brings to the table outside of that? He spoke to the media yesterday.
All Super Bowl teams, you know, they have similarities, and success leaves clues. And as long as we just keep chipping away at it, you know, I feel like we'll be okay. Whenever I can interject, you know, some of my knowledge and some of my wisdom, or if I can see something where I could, you know, put my two cents in, I'll do it. But I'm not a preachy rah-rah guy. You know, I'm coming out trying to make my plays and trying to get my job done. And whenever it's time for Von Miller to talk, I'm going to be the first one to do it.
The Bills added Miller to a defense that was already one of the best in the NFL. Buffalo's defense led the league in points per game, yards per play, and QBR allowed last season. They also pressured opposing quarterbacks at the second highest rate in the league. And this was despite the fact that star cornerback Tre'Davious White, of course, tore his ACL in week 12 and missed the remainder of the season. You wonder how some of those things down the postseason stretch would have gone if White had been healthy. So, Mina, when you look at this Bills defense, what's the biggest question you have entering the season?
Well, it's the Bills, so it's a baby question because we're really picking nits. We're trying to find issues with this roster. But the question is cornerback. I think the pass rush is going to be even better with Von Miller. And with Tre'Davious White, you know, still out with an injury, supposed to return on time. You look to the rookie, Kyre Elam, out of Florida, first-round pick this year, and ask, is he going to be called into action week one against not a team you want to be called into action against, the Los Angeles Rams? You know, I'm not terribly concerned, though, assuming White's not out for an extended period of time, because you alluded to him getting hurt last year, week 12. After that, the opposing QBR of quarterbacks that they faced dropped from lowest league to third lowest in the league. Some of that is due to the outstanding play of his replacements, Levi Wallace, who's now gone with Pittsburgh. Dane Jackson will probably play immediately. But it's also because of the pass rush, which you mentioned is one of the best in the NFL, one of the deepest in the NFL, of course, helps out in coverage. And then the fact that this team has, I believe, the best safety duo in the league. And the way they play coverage, I think it allows them to protect the cornerback play a lot. So as long as White's not hurt for too long, I'm not too worried.
Yeah, Mina, I want to circle back to Tre'Davious White, right? So I can't really explain. I almost can't even put into words the impact he has had on this defense, not just on the field, but off the field. He is a clear team leader. So where he's at now, he started off camp on the PUP list, and head coach Sean McDermott says he's right on schedule. He's rehabbing and working really hard to try to get back. And guys, you know, with ACLs, everyone's really different with how they bounce back from it. Some come back really early. Some takes a little bit of time. But for them, they said the trainers are telling the Bills front office that they're right on schedule. things are looking good. So they certainly want him back. But in the meantime, of course, all the headlines up in Buffalo right now are the fact that Von Miller is part of this team. He's trying to be just the first player ever to win three Super Bowls to three different teams. And, you know, you take a look about back when he was with the Rams and how happy and how much he enjoyed being there. He has said he now wants to be sort of that cherry on top of this Sunday in Buffalo of trying to win a Super Bowl, to put them over the edge to be that guy. And I know I spoke with some members of this coaching staff who told me, really, as much as he's a fantastic player, we could talk about that all show long, a lot of it is just the presence of Von Miller with those young pass rushers as he's going to continue to coach and teach them and get them ready to play in the NFL.
Yeah, Diana, that's like one of the fanciest cherries on top you could ever get. It's a really high-class cherry. All right, Josh Allen also addressed the media yesterday. He was asked about the lofty expectations for the team this season. Listen to this.
We're a new team. We're a different team. You know, we know that. We understand that. We've got new pieces. We've got a new offensive coordinator. We've got a new mindset. So, again, just trying to find what we are, what our identity is. That's really what training camp is for. And there's no higher expectations than what we have for ourselves in the locker room. And, again, I think if you're a team that doesn't have Super Bowl or nothing, you know, in your minds, I don't think that you're doing it the right way. Obviously, that's the main goal, is to win world championships. And we got to find a way to get it done. But, again, it starts with week one.
So Mina said this really well earlier with the Bills. It's like you are picking nits here, but that's what we're doing because they are a contender to win the Super Bowl. So, Tim, for as high as the expectations are, and the Bills just talked about it there, what's one thing you want to see change on the offense this year?
Well, I actually think this is a big thing for their offense, Lauren. It'd be just create more balance and get more production in the run game out of people other than Josh Allen. You know, it's why they drafted James Cook in the second round, the running back out of Georgia. But the reality is, when you look at the last two seasons for the Buffalo Bills and their offense, it's been awesome. And Josh Allen's been the reason why. Explosive plays, he's run the football well. But on eight different occasions, he's been the leading ball carrier. I mean, most rush attempts in games for the Bills. You can't do that. That's second to only Lamar Jackson. I think we would all agree that those offenses are drastically different. They're depending way too much on Josh Allen in the run game. And so I think, in fairness to him in the passing game, some help in the run game would go a long way. And also, quite honestly, ends up helping them playing games where they envision playing games in the postseason in Buffalo, where, you know, that type of football certainly travels.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Tim. And it's obviously what defenses want them to do, is run the ball. They got a lot of the same looks as the Kansas City Chiefs last year, with defenses sitting back in those two high shell looks. And much like the Kansas City Chiefs, at times they struggled against that. But you saw offensive coordinator Brian Daboll make some adjustments as the year went on, started using the tight ends and the fullback more. And I think Josh Allen was part of that. But you're right in that he shouldn't be the only answer in running the football. And I think that's something they're going to look to, whether it's with Cook or bringing in O.J. Howard an extra tight end more often at the beginning of this season.
Yeah, having covered Cook a lot in college, I think Bills fans should be really excited about what he brings to the table. He's a really electric running back and fits nicely in that offense. Let's go to Tampa Bay. Another running back, Leonard Fournette, is back in the fold, ready to go for another year with Tom Brady. And the veteran Fournette, an example of a player Brady sought out to rejoin him. In fact, earlier this offseason, Fournette told Rich Eisen the story of how Brady helped bring him back to Tampa.
I was going around shopping, you know, see what teams had in store for me. And when I went up to New England, he texted me. He was like, man, what you doing up there? Man, just shopping around, trying to see what's good for me, trying to see what's available for me and myself, you know, to provide for my family. And he was like, man, I'll call you back. So next thing you know, Tampa called me with an offer.
Yeah, that's what Tom Brady can do. Okay, so the good news, Brady and Fournette back together in Tampa. But the bad news might be the reports that Leonard Fournette showed up to camp looking like that. I'm just kidding. He did this himself. They're saying he showed up overweight. He poked fun at that reporting with a Photoshop tweet over the weekend. He said, camp in 2 days. Love y'all. I'm off. All right, Diana, all jokes aside, how do you read the situation with Fournette?
Oh, Tom Brady just has so much juice. That story is awesome. And the answer to your question actually is what Fournette just shared, which was Tom Brady called me. In other words, Tom Brady recruited me, right? So Leonard Fournette is not going to be a problem once the start of the season gets here and he has to play in a game. His weight won't be an issue. He'll get in shape. He's not going to allow his body to be unfit, knowing who the quarterback is and knowing what he demands from him. So that story is the reason why I have zero concerns about Leonard Fournette come week one.
And maybe after some avocado toast, he'll be in shape and it won't be an issue, you know, from Brady. Maybe that's the deal. Listen, people need to understand, like, the offseason, some guys take it easy in the offseason. I play with a bunch of guys. I mean, Tiki Barber had a hard time passing the conditioning test at the Giants. But when it came to the regular season starting, like, it didn't matter. You could handle the ball, you know, 25 times. And I think that would be a similar case for Leonard Fournette. There's never really been a point in his career where he's not been ready. And his time in Tampa, quite frankly, he's been outstanding. And I think in some ways he's probably been everything they expected him to be and more, because he's run the ball, you know, with power, which they probably could expect, but they also haven't had to take him off the field where I think some people maybe thought that they would have to in passing down. So, look, I think, you know, playoff Lenny emerged, and I think we'll see a healthy and ready Leonard Fournette when the season begins.
Yeah, and I think it's important for the Bucs, especially as we pay attention to Chris Godwin's injury status, you know, that Tom Brady has him as an outlet in the passing game. We all know that's such an important facet for Tom Brady, both in New England and now in Tampa. And while I like the rookie running back they drafted, who I think could be useful on third down, Rashad White, you know, another thing with Tom Brady is it takes him a while to trust backs, especially if they drop the ball once or twice. I think just seeing him develop that trust with Leonard Fournette as their primary back and pass catching back over the course of last season is a big part of why Brady made that call that Diana referred to.
Yeah, the report, just so you know, was that Leonard Fournette came in 30 pounds overweight. We'll see how he ends up figuring all that out. He had 69 receptions last season, third most in the NFL among running backs, to Mina's point. To some news now, Deshaun Watson arrived at Browns camp as the wait continues on the NFL's decision about disciplining the quarterback. 24 women sued Watson, claiming sexual misconduct during massage sessions, and Watson settled 20 of the 24 lawsuits last month. The NFL's disciplinary hearing for Watson ended June 30th, and federal judge Sue L. Robinson is expected to hand down a decision soon after presiding over the hearing. Let's go to Jake Trotter. He covers the Browns for ESPN out there at camp. And Jake, what is the team expecting in terms of the Watson situation at this point?
Laura, by the way, we just saw Deshaun Watson cross the street behind me into the building to my right for a photo shoot leading into training camp. You know, speaking to people in the building behind me, there's been no indication that they're going to hear anything from Judge Robinson today. There had been an expectation that they would hear something before the start of training camp, but training camp is now only 2 days away. So the Browns are just like everybody else. They're waiting. And one thing to keep in mind, if Watson is in fact suspended, he will still be able to participate in training camp under the CBA. But the Browns continue to wait. They don't know when a decision is going to come, and they don't know what that decision, Laura, is going to entail.
Yeah, it's a definitely waiting game across the league as we wait to find out exactly what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. Thanks so much to Jake Trotter for joining us here. Coming up on NFL Live, Trevor Lawrence is at Jags camp, ready to go with a new coach, new targets, and new outlook. Hear why Mina thinks his life will be a lot easier this upcoming season. Plus, Devontae Adams had lots to say about his new QB, Derek Carr. And while he's usually putting DBs on skates, this time he's the one backpedaling. Find out why. Stay tuned. NFL Live continues on next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen. Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Ah, fresh start for Trevor Lawrence. The number one overall pick wowed us at times as a rookie. Also made some puzzling mistakes amidst a tumultuous year one under Urban Meyer. He's heading into training camp with a new regime, and Lawrence and his new head coach, Doug Peterson, both addressed the media this morning. Take a listen.
As a team, I think we have a lot to prove. Just didn't have a great year last year, and I know the guys in this locker room are ready to prove some stuff this year. So having that motivation and then just having this new opportunity to get a clean slate. Everybody starts at the bottom and having a chance to work your way up.
He's in the same frame of mind as well. He wants to take that next step, and not only in his growth, but obviously leading this football team. So today's day one of that, and we're just excited to be on the grass with him and the rest of the team.
So while some of Lawrence's rookie season was one to forget, he did improve under the Jaguars when they fired Urban Meyer mid-December. During his last four starts of the season, Lawrence increased his completion percentage QBR and threw for over 16 more yards per game. In the final game of the season, of course, that was the upset win over the Colts that eliminated Indy from playoff contention. Lawrence completed 72% of his passes with two touchdowns and no interceptions. That sort of gets lost in the story of that game. Everyone just talks about Indy, but Lawrence played well. So, Tim, what does Lawrence's tape show you, though, from last season?
Well, it indicates what that graphic just showed. He did improve as the season went along. And, you know, what you see is the good's really good, the bad is really bad. Mm. And then, you know, there are things that the guys around him can do better to help him. And so that's what I mean about the good being good. It's a double post look coming off of play action, 2-on-1 in the free safety. And this is a huge throw with the safety deep to drive this ball from the far hash from outside the 45-yard line. Not many guys can do it like that. But here's the bad in the same game. It's a high-low corner-flat combination. Corner sinks. 10 out of 10 times, this ball goes to the back, and there's good opportunity for a run after the catch. Instead, it's a turnover and a critical point of the game. Then against Tennessee later in the season, it's a slow screen that's got a built-in shallow cross. He's reading the Mike linebacker. Right read, but this is what I mean about play around him. Ball's not caught through the hands of a receiver. Rashad Evans ends up picking it off. And that's what I mean about cleaning up the operation around him. And so ultimately, you know, Doug Peterson, I believe, will come in and be able to say, hey, look, there's a lot of good things. Let's keep that. Let's throw away some of these bad experiences because you know better. Learn from those. And then let's work together to get the play around you to improve, which I quite frankly think Doug Peterson will be able to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think it kind of comes down to a few things. Getting Trevor to stop pressing. You highlighted the play where he passed up on the easy route in the flat. And then just giving him answers and mismatches. Answers so that, you know, he's confident that he doesn't have to get a first down in every play and he can throw to that player in the flat and through using whether it's RPOs or motion, making sure he has information and can make easier decisions. And then mismatches, these skill players, I would say, are not the best group in the NFL. But there's enough talent there to where Peterson can isolate some of those players and get them nice mismatches on linebackers. We know he's going to come in and use more 12 personnel. Of course, that was his hallmark in Philadelphia. And while, Evan Engram and the other... Gosh, Dan Arnold, who they traded for last year and got hurt, are not Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. They do have mismatchability, especially due to their athleticism. Travis Etienne is a mismatch nightmare. And if Peterson kind of find ways to get those players onto the field and give easier options for Trevor, I think he can make the most of it.
I mean, Mina, only you are like pulling out those names like that. I got to be totally honest.
No, Dan Arnold.
Yeah.
I don't know why I forgot that.
Tim, when you think about the players that they surrounded Trevor Lawrence with, I mean, they spent $195 million in guaranteed money on free agents this offseason. They try to go out and get some people, but how does that actually look when you look at it on the field?
Yeah, I think that, you know, part of what, and I think Mina's alluding to this, look, Doug Peterson wants to create, you know, easy scripted completions. It's something that you know, quite honestly, Andy Reid has done a tremendous job of doing throughout his career. And you look at the guys that have come, you know, from Andy Reid's tree, it's finding, you know, I don't want to say mindless, but like things that don't take a ton of thought to find completions. Yeah. And I think you can do that with people that are dangerous with the ball in their hands. As you mentioned, Evan Engram or Travis Etienne, who remember, you know, was essentially a non-factor last year because of the injury. And so I do think that does change them along with the money they've, you know, spent elsewhere.
I got to say, guys, just the footage there of Trevor Lawrence, like, in shorts. I realize he's just in shorts, but you just see him throwing out there, and you're like, man, this guy looks the part. You almost forget how talented he was in college coming out and why he was the number one overall pick. I bet we'll see that this season. Hey, let's get to Tyreek Hill. He appeared on First Take this morning and was candid about what made him take his talents to South Beach. Is it something we've heard before? Well, we'll tell you next on NFL Live. You don't want to miss this. We have a real treat for you on Saturday. The NFL's Back Together Saturday happening again with all 32 NFL teams practicing at their individual training camp sites. We'll have coverage from every single one of them. 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on ESPN, and then from 1 to 3 Eastern on ABC, our crew gets back together. So Marcus, Dan, they'll be a part of it here, as well as Adam Schefter and Phil Yates. Back Together Saturday, also available on the ESPN app and NFL Network. Don't miss it. Diana Russini is back here with us. And Diana, in recent days, we saw a slew of names get sent to the physically unable to perform list. It's called the PUP list for short. What exactly does that mean for a player's availability to start the season, though?
Yeah, the PUP list has such a sweet name. I feel like it needs a tougher name considering what we're dealing with here, right? It's really for players who aren't healthy enough right now to participate in football activities, but they can still go to meetings. They can be around the team. They just can't participate in practice. And here's the thing. If they're able to make the roster if they don't make the roster by August 30th, at least are unable to get off that list, then they have to miss the first four games of the season, so the first 4 weeks. So most of these players, they're rehabbing. They're trying to do everything they can so they can get off the PUP list so they're good to go. But these guys are still good to go for week one.
Yeah, maybe it should be like the mean dog list. I'm trying to think of a scarier name. All right, let's look at some of the names.
Too cute.
Yeah, let's look at some of the names who are on the list. We start with the Baltimore Ravens, who have quite a few on there, Diana.
Yeah, remember last year they had those slew of players with ACL injuries? Well, these guys, they're still recovering and rehabbing off those injuries, starting with running back J.K. Dobbins. Then he had Gus Edwards. And then remember Marcus Peters late in September. He tore his ACL as well. Ronnie Stanley, Tyus Bowser. So Baltimore has a lot of players there on that PUP list. So they're all working hard to try to get back. Then in Indy, their all-pro linebacker is on the PUP list. After getting the back, Darius Leonard had back surgery in June. And I spoke to some sources in Indy. They said he's progressing really well. So they feel good. He is going to be good to go. So no big concerns, but that was a surgery that he had said he had to get done. And then, of course, this is the big question, Juan. David Bakhtiari with the Packers, right? So we haven't seen him participate since he tore his ACL in late 2020. Everything I'd heard was that he felt good. He was healthy. He was going to start training camp off and be fine. And then he had a setback in rehab. So now they're starting left tackle is starting the season here, or at least starting training camp on the PUP list. But again, we don't know how he's going to progress. Of course, they feel optimistic about it because he was so close. But for now, they're just going to have to wait and see how that knee holds up.
Yeah, I want to stay on that because, I mean, as you think about what Bakhtiari means for that team, what he means for Aaron Rodgers, how big a deal would it be for Bakhtiari to have to miss more time this season?
Well, any time after a player's taken an entire season off because of the injury and then you hear he's still not ready to come back, that's concerning. Now, they did hold up the offensive line really well without him last season, in part because you had Elgton Jenkins slide over, play left tackle, was excellent when he was healthy. Yashua Nijman, man on the other side, or Lucas Patrick, who's now with Chicago. But with Bakhtiari on the occasion, even out of the picture, if he is, suddenly that group gets a little thinner. You know, Jenkins is also on the PUP list. And even if there's any uncertainty around him, suddenly you're looking past Nijman on that roster, and I would be a little bit concerned if I was Green Bay.
I mean, I think you make a good point. Listen, this is one of the best quarterbacks in football. Now you're talking about his left tackle, you know, missed basically all of last year, miss it again this year for a team that obviously has aspirations to win a Super Bowl. That's a big deal. That being said, I think because of the experience last year, and while I'll admit that it's not the same, you know, roster to fill in for Bakhtiari, the fact that they were able to survive the way they did without him a year ago, and with what I anticipate from Green Bay's offense going forward, which would be, you know, a heavier dose of the run game with A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, and then Aaron's ability to play on schedule and make, you know, erase mistakes for the guys up front, I actually am not as concerned as I think some people may be with this situation as we see it right now with Bakhtiari on the pup to start training camp.
Yeah, Tim, to your point, a great quarterback at an Aaron Rodgers level can make an offensive line that's got some holes in it look a lot better than some other quarterbacks could. I do want to just reiterate how good Bakhtiari's been. He led all tackles in pass block win rate from 2016 to 2020. So that's 4 years straight. That's really hard to do. Okay, so to another guy who's not going to be there, this is why they may go to more of a run-heavy offense, to Tim's point. Davante Adams is now with the Raiders, and all these receivers are out here just talking so much. Davante Adams, the latest to do it, raising some eyebrows with some comments. Let's start with what happened over the weekend. Adams was on CBS Sports Radio and made a very interesting comparison between new and old quarterback.
The shift, like, from that passer to Derek Carr, and then, you know, just your acclimation too.
I mean, anytime you change quarterbacks from, you know, a Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, you go, you know, Stabler to Rich Gannon or whoever you go to, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. And, you know, both are great players and great to be around. So I'm just enjoying that process and getting better myself, you know, trying to do as much as I can to help these guys go out there and win as many games as we can.
Okay, so that soundbite, naturally, made headlines around the NFL this weekend. Adams was asked about it during his media availability yesterday, and he clarified his comments.
Derek's career is Hall of Fame worthy, and why not? I mean, you know, people can say that about this guy, that guy. What I would say is, does he have the MVPs right now? You know, no. Has he won a Super Bowl? Not yet. You know, that's obviously what we're chasing. But what I meant to say was, even if you go Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, it's an adjustment. You know, I mean, like, even if it is Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, there's going to be an adjustment. I wasn't saying Hall of Famer Aaron to Hall of Famer Derek. So I'm not retracting my statement at all.
Oh, the laugh toward the end there kills me. Okay, the resumes of Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers aren't comparable, but Carr does have some impressive numbers of his own, so let's give him that credit. He has the third most passing yards in a player's first 8 seasons in NFL history, trailing only Peyton Manning and Matt Ryan. Carr is also one of only 4 QBs to have at least 4,000 passing yards in each of the last 4 seasons. The others, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes. So, Mina, it was really funny watching you listen to Davante Adams and, like, the whole retraction of the statement that wasn't a retraction, all that. But what do you make of Adams' comments?
Well, first I'll say I think we should all be so lucky to have a friend like Davante Adams. Right? You know what I do, and her name is Laura Rutledge, because she big ups me that way,
but
too.
But you really are a Hall of Famer, though, so I'm not, like, just making that up. But anyway, go ahead, Mina.
I'll say this. You know, obviously a comparison between Aaron Rodgers and any quarterback is not particularly generous. But all Adams really has to do is compare Derek Carr to how Carr himself was playing a few years ago, because he has quietly made a lot of improvements especially recently, I would say, playing for the Raiders. You know, a big criticism of him, and I think a really fair one, is that he checks down, he doesn't push the ball downfield, and in 2019, he ranks 32nd in the NFL in air yards per attempt. Last year, 11th, and that was with not a full season from Henry Ruggs. He has been markedly more aggressive, and they've had more explosive plays as a result. The other critique that has come to mind, I guess, over the course of his career is he's not a playmaker. He's not extending and creating the way some quarterbacks in this league do. But something I've noticed, Tim, recently, and especially last season, playing behind, you know, a struggling offensive line, particularly on the right side, Derek Carr has been using his legs more, and he has been more willing to create. And I think, you know, if you look at statistics last year versus previous years, when he is on the move, he is throwing the football better. So I would say, you know, Derek Carr right now is firmly in that 10 to 15 range as a quarterback. I think now the pressure is on him to jump from 5 to 10 with the skill players he has, but he has been underrated recently.
Yeah. And Mina, I think that you, me, and Davante Adams would agree that he has not had a Hall of Fame career. If we could all be honest with each other, he has not. But I do think, to your point about, hey, is he going to be better? Like, is he going to improve? I think that he is going to improve. I think the situation around him is going to be better. I, like many people, was really impressed with how he led through the disaster of what last year was and played quite well through most of it also. And now all of a sudden you add one of the best receivers in football to go with a bunch of other really talented players on that offense. You pair him with Josh McDaniels, who's been one of the better play callers in the National Football League recently. And I think that there's no doubt room for improvement for a guy who, by the way, back in 2016, received MVP votes. So
yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to the Hall of Fame, but I do think he's a really good player who's going to have really good players around him.
Yeah, 57 career wins, 30 game-winning drives. Isn't that like the definition of clutch? He comes up big and gets it done. And I don't know, he's just one of those quarterbacks we criticize a lot, and I think it's hard to believe sometimes when you hear that stat, but that's the truth. And Adams is just pumping his guy's tires. That's his best friend. He's doing what he should do. That's being a good teammate. You know, and it's interesting because Davante Adams has had such an impact in Vegas already. We talk on the show all the time about his talent. He's the number one receiver in the league. Yet I talked to a player on the Raiders who told me that Adams has a way about himself during the workouts that he's almost like a rookie, meaning the enthusiasm, his eagerness to do the rep again, to get it right. So not only is he constantly trying to improve himself, but he's really lifting those around him. So this is what you get when you sign a player like Davante Adams. Yeah, he costs a lot of money, but he's going to have a lot of effect on those players around him.
Yeah, listen, I'm all for these guys just continuing to talk and pump people up, and maybe if it's at the expense of other guys, it makes for great entertainment. Along those lines, let's go to the other wide receiver who keeps talking about his new quarterback. And sometimes maybe demeaning Patrick Mahomes a little bit, although he says he's not doing that. Tyreek Hill has doubled down on his love for Tua Tagovailoa, and Hill was on First Take this morning right here on ESPN. He was asked why he chose Miami as his trade destination over the Jets. Here's what he said.
You know, Tua, he's not your typical gunslinger, but, you know, like, if you really, like, just pay attention to his game, you know, everything is spot on, everything is pinpoint, you know, ball is on time, you know, his fundamentals are on point, you know, so I say it once and I say it again, you know, Zach Wilson is a dog, but I'd rather play with the most accurate quarterback in the NFL, dog.
He's all about it. He's going to keep doing that. So, Mina, apparently that also needed to be said, which is a play on words of his podcast. Need to be said. What is it? Needs to say it or needs to be said? I don't know. Anyway, you like.
Yeah, you got it. It needed to be said.
It needed to be said. Do you like that he keeps going to bat for Tua so publicly?
I mean, at least this is better when he basically said, I think it was last week, it's hard to keep track. Oh, this is Tua's last chance in the NFL or something along those lines. You know, the pressure is on him to produce this year. I would say I don't entirely believe him. Or maybe he believes himself right now, but Tyreek Hill, so much of his success in the NFL is not predicated just on accuracy. It is on those deep balls that come off of extended plays with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, if it's October and he's still catching, like, I don't know, 7-yard slants off of RPOs, and is Tua's not pushing the ball downfield, I think he'll change his tune. He does make a good point, however, about Tua's accuracy. I wouldn't say it's the best in the NFL, but it certainly is his strongest trait as a quarterback.
Yeah, listen, from the receiver perspective, maybe he really feels that way. It is funny. We don't necessarily hear from Tua about all this, and knowing Tua, he is not a big guy that's a huge fan of people pumping him up this way, so it's going to be really fascinating to see how he applies all of this positive love. Okay, we've got information here new on NFL Live. This just coming in, Justin Ross for the Chiefs has been placed on the IR. He's out for the year, according to Field Yates. Mina, I had the same reaction. The rookie wide receiver, you almost groan when you think about the disappointment for him, but also the disappointment for the Chiefs, who no longer have Tyreek Hill. What does this news mean?
Yeah, I saw him as kind of the high upside play in the draft or after the draft, just given what we saw from Ross early in his career. The potential is so high. Unfortunately, it has been those injuries that ultimately did tank his draft stock, and it's unfortunate. I don't think the Chiefs needed him to produce this season, but it would have been nice to develop him over the course of the year and hopefully, ideally, get him on later in the season.
Yeah, we hope the best for Justin Ross's recovery. We got more coming your way here on NFL Live. Lamar Jackson has had to prove himself in the league since before he was even drafted, and the doubt just keeps on coming. But this time, it's within the NFL and an anonymous source. Stay tuned to find out what was said and what Tim thinks about it. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Josh Allen arrived to Bills practice, a loud ovation. Look at him running out right there to start camp. The highest of expectations in Buffalo. And those are the kind of expectations that bring out all types of fans. How about this Josh Allen doppelganger? I mean, guy's like basically the same. He's maybe slightly bigger, like right around the middle there, Mina. But what do you think about the doppelganger? You like the look?
I mean, are you sure that wasn't Josh Allen, Laura? I didn't get a good look at him, but the mustache, come on.
The stash was good. He kind of looked to me like Josh Allen with like an inner tube around his waist. But anyway, let's read and react to some stories around the NFL, starting with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. In a recent article in The Athletic, an unnamed defensive coordinator was quoted as saying the following about the Ravens QB. Quote, if he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. He's so unique as an athlete and he's really a good football player, but I don't care if he wins the league MVP 12 times. I don't think he'll ever be a one as a quarterback. He'll be a one as a football player, but not as a quarterback. So many games come down to 2 minutes, and that's why they have a hard time advancing, even though they're good on defense. Playoffs are tight. You have to be able to throw the ball, and he's just so inconsistent throwing the ball. It's hit or miss. Sort of makes you cringe. Tim, do you trust Lamar passing the ball in his hands to win the game?
I do to an extent. Not at the same level as I would Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. But I also don't want to be in a situation where it appears I'm defending a statement, which is ridiculous. If he wins the MVP 12 times, I'm pretty sure he's the number one quarterback. That being said, listen, I think it is a fair criticism to say he needs to develop more as a passer if he wants to be talked about like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen.
Yeah, great company there, to your point, Tim. All right, so let's go to Matt Rhule talking about his quarterback situation. Baker Mayfield's there, Sam Darnold's there. He spoke this afternoon about that QB room.
To me, my job is not to pick the starting quarterback. The players will do that with the way that they play. My job is to make sure that we have really good players in the room, which we now, you know, which we do in that room, and make sure that they have opportunities. And so, it'll be a fun ride. When we know, we know.
Mina, who do you think should be the starting QB there?
Well, first I'll say, I think Matt Rhule is going to have to pick the starting quarterback. And I would go with Baker Mayfield based on what we've seen so far. Even last year, with all of his struggles, protecting the football, taking care of it, he still performed, to my eye, better than Sam Darnold did in Carolina. And that was playing through injury. If you go back to just the season before or his rookie year, Baker has put together longer stretches of consistent play than Darnold. He just has to show that this summer, I think, to win the job.
Let's go to Tennessee, where Malik Willis signed his rookie deal over the weekend as a quarterback. Remember, some of the news that made some headlines was Ryan Tannehill saying, hey, it's not my job to bring this guy along. Diana, what's the latest there? Any sense of what the quarterback room is like in Tennessee right now?
Yeah, all is good between Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. Malik put that to bed when I asked him directly, what do you think of Ryan's comments? He's like, I knew exactly what he meant. Ryan actually had him over for dinner. They talked it out. They laughed at it. No big deal. But what does this mean? First, let's start with Malik. He's young. He's a rookie. He's got lots to learn. But he's doing all the things he should be doing as a young quarterback. This is Ryan Tannehill's team. No one's taking that job away from him. He's already had a really good offseason. I've heard some really good things about him. And speaking of hearing some good things, Treylon Burks struggled a bit during rookie camp. Remember, Laura, I was down there. We were talking about it here on the show that maybe he was a little overweight. They weren't too sure what was going on there. Everything I've heard is nothing but positive with Burks showing up for rookie camp.
I just saw his college coach, Sam Pittman, from Arkansas at SEC Media Days, and he said, now, mark my words, you better watch that Treylon Burks. He's going to be dynamic in the NFL. It is his college coach, but still. All right, Bill Belichick has been a man of mystery for the majority of his time in the NFL, and this offseason's so different. Tim Hasselbeck says there's zero confusion, though, regarding the Patriots. Is he right? We'll be right back with more NFL Live. I got my head out the sunroof. I'm blasting my favorite tunes. Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Mac Jones heading into a crucial year two after being one of the best rookie quarterbacks statistically, despite trailing off a bit down the stretch. Josh McDaniels is gone. No one knows exactly who the Pats offensive coordinator will be, so who's handling the play calling? Here's what Plaxico Burress had to say about the uncertainty on the Patriots offensive staff.
There's no way during the week Bill Belichick can be an offensive meeting and a defensive meeting at the same time. It's plain and simple. You have to have an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator if you want to run an offense or defense. He can be the head coach, but he can't do both at the same time.
Okay, so there might be a practical reason Belichick kept the coordinator spots open, but both Matt Patricia, remember, and Joe Judge have years left on their old contracts as head coaches, but any salary they'd get from the Patriots would count against the money they already had headed their way from both the Lions and the Giants. So smaller roles equal smaller costs to the Patriots. That could be an explanation for this and worth keeping in mind as we talk about it. But Tim, what do you make of the whole situation?
Yeah, that's called chess, not checkers.
Yeah.
When you do that, listen, look, here's the deal. I don't think there is any question that inside that building, they know who's in charge of the offense. And no, Bill Belichick is not coordinating the offense and the defense. So it is either going to be Matt Patricia or Joe Judge. And I think that internally, that'll be clear. I think the bigger question ends up being is, are they any good? Are they good at that role? Because they haven't been in that role, especially at this level. They're replacing Josh McDaniels, who was excellent in that role. And if you just looked around the league, whether it was the Bills or whether it was the 49ers, like those teams weren't knocking down the door to interview Matt Patricia or Joe Judge to be their offensive coordinator. So I think the jury's still out if they're going to be good at replacing Josh McDaniels.
I think that's exactly it, Tim. It's a far greater concern to me than the title thing is the fact, as you say, that neither of these guys have called plays at an NFL level. And if Tom Brady was a quarterback, that wouldn't be a concern. You know, we would assume it would be fine. Tom Brady runs that offense anyways at this point in his career. But we're talking about a second-year quarterback in a scheme that's really more likely than not going to continue evolving this season. There has been talk about the Patriots implementing more of an outside zone run game and everything that flows from that. And I think when you look at a second-year quarterback, some new changes in offense, some new personnel, and coaches who have not called plays, it's a pretty murky picture even when you consider that Bill Belichick is the head coach.
Yeah, Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, you guys have a combined 3 seasons of NFL coaching experience on offense, none of which came as a play caller. So it's important either way to think about it. All right, time for one more thing before we go. And today, why not? Let's check in on Dan Orlovsky's Twitter account, where he posted a picture of a glass of red wine with a sacrilegious 3 ice cubes in it. I don't know what to do with this guy. Like, Mina, he's a lost cause in so many ways when it comes to his food takes and apparently drink takes. But I'm at least anti the ice and the red wine. How do you feel, Mina?
You know, normally I am. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but it has been so hot lately that actually kind of looks good to me. Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, it's like 90 degrees
Tim,
in Los Angeles.
Tim, help me.
I don't know.
I mean,
Tim?
Did he take the picture before he put a straw in there, too? Like, what are we doing here?
Guys,
in a sippy cup, maybe?
Dan.
Yeah, that's not
geez.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get him started on his cookie takes, too. Either way, we miss you, Dan. Enjoy that iced up red wine. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.